In today's episode, I am sharing my three tips for trading out bad habits for good ones. We look at our unconscious patterning, how to merge this into our conscious minds, and how the mind, body, and spirit need to come together for this to be effective. Let's get started. New episode of the Live Mindfully podcast, the podcast that invites us all to pause, take a deep breath, and show up as the best, most mindful versions of ourselves that we can each day. So it is at this point of the year that I notice the shift. The shift from the person I told myself I was going to show up as in 2024 to the person who is in the full swing of things, and suddenly I start to notice habitual patterns I thought I had kicked sneak back in. One of the big things that I want to stop doing is reaching for that drink at the end of the day. This is not something I do every day. But where I become a little bit flabbergasted is why I do it at all. There is alcoholism in my family, there has been, and I am also aware of how much alcohol plays a role in our culture and in the broader community and the issues that it poses. So I feel stuck between this pendulum of not wanting to drink during the week or at all, and also a very deeply ingrained belief that it's totally fine to have a couple of drinks. What's the harm? So over the last few months, I really cut back. I had a few drinks over Christmas and over my holidays with friends, and it was fine. I'm not an alcoholic or anything like that, but I had gotten myself into a really good habit. My self-care routine was really, really good. I was not getting to the end of the day going, oh, I'd love a glass of wine. I was doing all my breath work and exercising most days and swimming with the kids and playing loads of games with them and lots of quality time with my husband. But of course, now I am back in the full swing of work. Kids are back at school. We've got a sickness rolling through the door at this moment. The capture list is piling up. The podcast is back on. It's all happening. It's all great stuff, but it's all happening. And I get to the end of the day and that same conscious thought pattern rolls in. Oh, God, it'd be nice to have a nice cold beer or a nice cold glass of wine. Now, yours might be different. Yours might be, I'm going to do some online shopping. I've had a big day. Or I'll eat a few scoops of ice cream. Or it might even be something like, oh, I'm going to go for a run, even though I know that what I need right now in this very moment is to rest or unwind or meditate. It doesn't always need to be a manifestation of something that looks negative on the surface. Pushing our bodies or minds to do something that we know we shouldn't be doing in this moment can be negative when we know rest is what we need. So the thing that gives this away to us is the guilt and shame we feel after we have done the thing, and that is what we are talking about today. So if you have noticed some bad habits, and by bad I mean bad for you, sneak back into the new year and you are feeling those old friends' shame, guilt, and disappointment creep back in, I have three steps for you. Number one, come at this with compassion and benevolence. There is a piece of forgiveness that needs to happen here. You know when you have wronged another person. Until that person actually forgives you, you find it very hard to move forward, to make positive changes. This is why one of the steps in the 12-step process is to seek forgiveness. Forgiveness is never for the other person. It is for ourselves, because if they forgive us, we can start to forgive ourselves too. Now, this becomes tricky when the person who has to forgive you is you, and you start to realize that you are not an inherently forgiving person especially toward yourself. So I found this really intriguing and I decided to do some research. Why is it so hard to forgive ourselves when we are so willing to forgive another? And this is what I found. When we do something that we deem wrong, it creates something called a cognitive dissonance, which is the discomfort that we feel when our behavior does not align with our values or beliefs. When this happens, we need to take action to fix the situation. Ordinarily, this would be you going and apologizing to the other person. But it becomes much harder to fix a situation with yourself that you created, because what you'd like to do is go back and not do what you did. That's about as far as my research went on this in terms of what was available online. So then I came up with another line of thinking, which is this. In addition to that, not being able to delete what we did, we have to carry the feelings of both the person who committed the cognitive dissonance and the person who was harmed by the action. So we are both the victim and the perpetrator. And this is the perfect storm, or this is the deadly combination, because this leads to self-loathing. So when you've done something wrong, you immediately want to seek forgiveness. But when someone has done something wrong to you, you don't necessarily feel so quick to forgive and forget, do you? There is a process there that we need to go through to accept someone else's forgiveness. And when that storm of both victim and perpetrator exists within you, it is no wonder that self-forgiveness is hard. So what do? We practice. It's all we can do, really. We come at our behavior with compassion and kindness and forgiveness. We might not want to. We might not want to forgive ourselves. It might be easier to reach for self-loathing. It might be easier to be critical. But we switch that. We recognize that it's hard. We know why it's hard. So we practice that compassion, that kindness and forgiveness, the same that we would with a loved one. Or an even easier way to reach for that is when you think of your child. And once we do that, then we can step into step two. And we state, just for today, I won't eat the chocolate cake. Just for today, I won't drink the glass of wine. Just for today, I'll go for the walk or head to the gym or go for that swim. Or just for today, I will rest. But we tell ourselves it's just a decision we're making today. When we make big overarching commitments that we don't believe we can actually commit to, we shoot ourselves in the foot. And when we make big overarching commitments where unconscious behaviors are lurking, we already know there's an intuitive knowing within that we're not going to be able to do this. This is one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions and things of that nature don't always work, because we have committed ourselves to a year's worth of activity and that feels overwhelming. But when we work toward just what we can do today, just for today, I will read 15 pages of my textbook, or just for today, I will do 12 minutes of meditation. It feels far more achievable and likely. And tomorrow is a new day, and we will approach it when tomorrow arrives. This is the absolute power of mindfulness, because mindfulness requires us to only manage what we can manage for today, right now, in this moment. Mindfulness requires us to address only what is here for us right now and nothing more. Right now, you might have a toddler that is in distress. Right now, that is what you deal with. When we allow ourselves to progress into zones deeper than this, we can override our own systems and we think, oh, stuff this. I'm going to eat the cake. I'm going to drink that bottle. I'm going to veg out with 5 hours of Netflix or go online and buy myself something pretty that I don't need and definitely don't have the money to spend, but I'm going to do it anyway because I feel overwhelmed and this helps me in this moment. The problem is that if you were managing yourself only with what was happening in the moment, the chances of you having become overwhelmed in the first place that kicked off this habit would not have happened. And I'm not saying deny yourself, but we need to recognize that there is something that triggered this moment and subsequently this behavior that you are so familiar with and you are so tired of. And instead of saying, I'll be reasonable and watch one episode of my fave show, or have one glass with soda water, or have half a slice of cake, we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed, our conscious patterning kicks in, and we go the whole hog. So, of course, step three is to track our triggers. What sets off this habitual behavior that we so desperately want to change or break the pattern of? Because that is what is happening here. Something happens and you turn back to old comforts that you beat yourself up for later. And FYI, this is also called being human. So congratulations on not being a robot. You are a human being, experiencing the full breadth of what it means to be a human being. So there is nothing broken here. You are not broken. You are not wrong. There is nothing wrong here. You are a human being. That's it. That's all. And that's what you're really forgiving yourself for. You're forgiving yourself for being a human. That's all that's happening here. And when you allow that to truly embody your conscious thinking, forgiving yourself is not so hard. You know, oh, excuse me for being human, right? Like, sorry. And you're allowed to be a human because you're not a robot. But knowing and understanding what causes you to betray yourself, what causes you to do the thing that you promised yourself you would stop, that's growth. That's healing. That's progression. Because there are a million people who do what you do every day and it does not bother them. But if it is something that bothers you, if it is something that you want to stop, it is because you know it is a habit rooted in a trigger. And that's why you want to stop it. It's actually not really the habit that bugs you. It's being triggered by the thing that makes you go against your values, your belief, makes you go against yourself. It's like in Western medicine, we have a symptom and we treat the symptom. But more and more of us are coming around to this concept of, well, actually, what's the cause? What made this happen? Because surely that needs to be addressed too. It's the same thing here. You know that habit is rooted in a trigger and you want to get to the root of that. That's what is really happening here. And good on you, because this work is not for the faint-hearted. This is going to require observance. This is going to require you to adopt a new important skill: inward tracking and development of what is known as the witness mind. You need to cultivate a practice of stepping back and observing the behavior and tying it back to the trigger. And the best news, it won't actually be that hard to identify, because you have this habit that is on your nerves that you want to change. There is a physical manifestation that occurs when you are triggered, which is you reaching for the cake or reaching for the glass of wine or jumping online. And that's what needs to be investigated. So let's say you're having a hard day at work. There is a pattern here that exists. You come home, you open a bottle of wine, you tell yourself it's been a hard day and you deserve a glass. Stop right there. Become the witness mind. Start with a deep breath. Imagine a circle of light is surrounding you. Bring in the feelings of compassion, benevolence, and love for yourself. And if you don't know how to do this, just imagine what those things might feel like, because they exist within you already, whether you are able to conjure them up or not. No one teaches us how to feel angry. It is a feeling that just happens when things don't go our way, and it is something that surges in us from a really young age. The same is true for compassion and love. We might learn how to expand those feelings, but they are already inherent in us, and you need to trust that. So bring those feelings of love, compassion, and benevolence in. And for those who don't know, benevolence is the quality of kindness. And then remind yourself, I am just a human being about to engage in a habit that I know I will chastise myself for later. This is part of being a human being, and this is part of an unconscious habitual pattern I am trying to uncover. So just for today, I am not going to engage in this behavior. Just for today, I am not going to go for that run, or just for today, I'm not going to buy that dress. And then we want to uncover what has actually triggered this. And it's unconscious, which is why we need to evoke the conscious mind. Because here's the thing, the witnessed mind starts to merge unconscious behavior into our field of consciousness. And it's like unpeeling an onion. And for me, I've never been able to unpeel one layer of onion in one go. It always breaks and cracks and is done in stages. And the thing about the unconscious, as said by Carl Jung, who was a Swiss psychologist in the middle of the last century, he was also the protege of Sigmund Freud, and Sigmund Freud is considered the grandfather of modern psychology. Carl Gustav Jung says, the thing about the unconscious is it is unconscious. Right? It makes it really hard. It's not conscious to you. And that is where these triggers lie. Because the unconscious mind, according to Freud, is a potent part of the human mind. It drives our behavior. It is the source of human behavior, and the unconscious mind is a reservoir of feelings, thoughts, urges, and memories that are outside of our conscious awareness. Things that most likely happened to us when we were a child, and we're always operating from that place when we are operating from an unconscious level, which is why the witnessing mind becomes so important. Taking that pause. Because in the moment, our conscious mind is very good at debating why we deserve to turn to this habit. Our conscious mind is very convincing, and of course it is. This line of thinking is so well worn. This road is so well traveled in the synapse of the brain that it is now automatic, which is why this is a habit you can't break simply by announcing it to yourself. This story has been running so long, it makes perfect sense to you, and it isn't just tied to this one thing. It isn't just tied to having a hard day at work. It is likely tied to a few different triggers that all play out the same. I deserve this. It's the weekend. I have a friend's birthday coming up. I need a new dress. If I don't go for that run today, even though I'm injured and I know I need to rest, I'm going to get fat. So we have to interrupt the thought. And we do that by pausing. We just take a moment to stop, to disrupt the thought pattern. And it's not to say we won't continue to go through with the habit. But when you understand why, when you understand the cause, maybe you won't beat yourself up so much after. And when you understand the trigger, maybe just for today, you won't continue with the activity. So we ask ourselves, what specifically made this day so hard? Or what specifically means that because we've got a friend's birthday coming up, we need something new? And when we look at these specific moments, like what specifically made this day difficult for you, what actually happened, we start to uncover moments. Perhaps a work meeting went sour. And why did it go sour? What happened? We investigate a little bit more. Maybe the train was late and that frustrated us, or there was a lot of traffic, or you didn't finish a project that you wanted to or needed to. And we look at where all of these things point to. There's an underlying feeling here. And maybe it's frustration, or maybe it's something deeper. Maybe it's a feeling of not good enough, or not lovable, or not worthy. Or maybe it is the opposite. Work went so well today, so you are celebrating your love and your worthiness and your enoughness. Research shows us that good and bad have the potential to trigger the same unconscious negative behavior or pattern or habit. So become intimately aware of your thoughts, of your triggers, and because these also reside in the body, it is best to change the action if you want to bypass the cycle. Because our thoughts are not just thoughts in our head. They are an electrical impulse traveling down a synapse from the brain to some other part of us. That thought creates an action. And if we don't change the action, the habit resides. So let's go over it again. Step one, cultivate a field of compassion, love, and kindness. Step two, we state just for today, I am not going to do that thing that I always do that I no longer want to do, just for today. And step three, we investigate. We pause, we look at our triggers and begin to merge our unconscious thought and action patterns into our conscious. And then we take a different action. Make a cup of tea, go for a walk, talk about it with a loved one, find a different outfit in your wardrobe for that party, rest, do yoga nidra, grab a book instead of the remote. And if that doesn't work, make the commitment to yourself that just for today, I'll drink only one glass of wine or watch only one episode of Netflix or go for a short 10-minute walk instead of the run. Just for today. And then when tomorrow comes, we deal with tomorrow then. Because you're a human being. Congratulations. There is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing that is broken. You are simply an evolving human being caught in an unconscious pattern. And that's why it has been so difficult and so hard to shift. Thank you so much for listening today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a comment for other listeners. I appreciate having you here. If you have a problem or something you would like advice on, you can write to me at hello@lorimore.co, LoriMoore, and I will answer in one of the upcoming episodes. I'll be back again next week. Until then, take good care of yourself.